Not many times do you sing the preacher down, but man, I'm as hoarse as a goose. But we shouldn't have sung so many good songs. We should sing them boring kind that, was them nine words in one verse or whatever, however you say that. Whew, that was good singing. Man, I enjoyed that. I don't know which one was best. I know I have a favorite, but I don't know which one was best. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, the book of Deuteronomy. I know that sounds boring, don't it? But it's good stuff. 11th chapter. Deuteronomy. Won't stay there long. Good to see everybody. I'll make announcements afterwards. let's pray one for another. Pray for all those that are sick and missing today. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Going to do spot reading. Not going to be a full reading. We need the time. So I'm going to spot read some things. I'm going to start verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 4. Then we'll head over to Ezekiel. So if you have a problem finding stuff, look in your little concordance thing, your reference thing, find Ezekiel. So that's where we're headed after that. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 4. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. Now listen carefully. He doesn't pick up with how you got over. He starts with what he did. He made them waters to overshadow them or drown them, okay? Verse number 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Which if we took the time and go through the miracles that I would say, if we took the time and saw those miracles, they would all say, yep, we saw that. We were a part of that, okay? Now, we by faith, we read the account, and by faith, we see it with spiritual eyes. We don't see it with our natural eyes. But there's not a thing that I don't read that I can't imagine this is how it was. When they crossed over on dry land, it was dry. It wasn't muddy. When they crossed over on dry, it was dry. When they got their other side and you look and them feet got off on that other side, it didn't matter how close Pharaoh was. They could have been 2 foot behind them. You can drown when that water hits you like it did, even when you're 2 foot behind them. But you know what? It wasn't about Pharaoh. It was about them getting across. And when they got across, they were worried. Oh, they were worried. But when they got across, God just made that water just come back to where it was. And the idea part of it was they were experienced. Now, what did me and you experience? Well, the Bible just happens to be a couple of thousand years old. I ain't got to see none of that. Some of you coming to church saw a rainbow. I ain't going to tell you about that one. I ain't telling you what that means, okay? You got to figure that one out for yourself. But you see what we experience little things. Experience little things. Except for, remember, when Jesus said, I go away. He said, when I go away, though, I'm going to leave you somebody. And when I leave you that somebody, he will abide with you forever. So we experience what God said, even though Deuteronomy says it. Let's pick up now a little bit more. Verse number 12, same chapter, verse 12. A land, now we got a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Now, he cares for, you remember whenever he created man in Genesis, and whenever he created this garden, and he told Adam and Eve, he told Adam, he said, Adam, here's your job. You're going to be like the caretaker. You're going to take care of this garden. Now, I ain't figured out how you take care of something that don't have weeds. Because that's all we spend time doing, cutting down weeds, isn't it, huh? At thorns and thistles and all. They didn't have none of that stuff. He had an easy job. I mean, I'm telling you, that was a cushy job right there. Taking care of the garden that God made. God doesn't make anything bad. Come to my house, you'll see bad grass. You'll see bad every which way. Thorn bushes. You'll find all kinds of problems. You know why? Because we got a curse. We got a curse. Here was a land that God cared for. And when he cared for it, the eyes of the Lord, thy God, are always upon it. Now let's get our mind. Let's get our mind on it. By faith, we see God's eyes never getting away from it. And that's the reason the land of Israel is God's place. Now I got news for it. Hang on, we ain't through yet, so hang on. That God cares for it. God watches it. From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. That's good stuff. We ain't done. Let's go 16. 14. I'm sorry, 14. That I will give you the rain. And we're getting to where we want to get. I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. Now, every one of us that study our Bible know a little bit about this early and latter rain, but let me just kind of describe to you. If you're a farmer and you're growing crops, you need rain along the journey. You don't need it all at the beginning. You don't need it all at the end. You need it along the journey. Here's what it says. I'm going to send you the first rain and the latter rain. First rain and the latter. You know, let me put it in my eyes. You know, there's a time, and I'm just going to give you corn, okay? There's a time when you need heat, you need good dirt, okay? You need that fertilizer, we like to call it. But whenever it goes along, we're going to need a little rain. And just a little bit down the road, you're going to look at that dirt and say, and you know, here's what you're going to say. Boy, we sure could use some rain. Now listen, don't you think the Lord knows that? Wait a minute. Don't you think he knows when it needs to rain at the location it needs to rain? Watch this now, watch. So it means that God's presence, God's eyes, he's watching over. He's telling us what he's doing. Watch. So 14 says, the first rain and the latter rain that thou mayest gather in the corn, thy wine, and thine oil. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside. Let me read that one more time. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Now, how in the world can I get deceived if I'm watching God? We got to hang on now. That your heart be not deceived. Turn ye aside and serve other gods and worship them. 17. And then, if that happens, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and if he's kindled against you and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. We ask you, God, for your richest blessing. God, that we might follow you in the direction you have for us to go. But most of all, touch that one that needs you so close and so dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, and we'll stay right there the rest of the time. Remember what we said, by faith, we see it. By faith, God shows it to us. By faith, God showed them a land. When we get to Ezekiel, I know it's a different time. I know I fully understand that. But what God is trying to describe here in this passage, a leader. And this leader, this director, this person that is going to lead his people. We would all like to think, well, let me just say, well, we thought David would be the right man. I actually thought Saul was going to be the right man. And that ain't the one God wanted. But anyhow, that's what he let the people have. When David comes along, man, David's got to be the man.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. David is a big man. You go over to Israel today, talk about David, they understand that one, okay? But now you talk about Jesus, it's a different story. Their eyes are blinded. They can't see. There's a spiritual blindness when it comes to Jesus. He was a good man, good teacher, but he wasn't who they thought him to be. Now, from the foundation of the world, the Bible talks about a lamb slain. From the foundation of the world, the plan of God was put into action. And when God chose his people, he didn't choose his people just to say, I'm going to put a veil over your face so you can't see. It was because of their actions, and I'm going to call it their ignorance, that they didn't see the Messiah. And because they rejected him, God put this veil over their eyes so that they can't see. There can be people saved. There can be Jews saved today just like me and you. But I got news for you. That veil has to be removed. In other words, they've got to go through a whole bunch of stuff before they're going to ever see the Lord. Like me and you, we've got to go through a whole bunch of stuff before we ever see the Lord. Now, you're going to have to listen to me. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34, I want to read just a couple of verses. And verses 14, I will swear I want to start. I will feed them. Notice the words that I'm going to read. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. Which if you had sheep, that's what you call that fold. So if there's a high mountain, friend, I don't know about you, but high mountains sometimes has cold weather. It in the wintertime, it's real cold. And you say, well, why did God put them there? Just watch, listen. Whenever it's hot weather in the summertime, you say, whoo, you go up there to that mountain, it's a whole lot cooler. Now, see, it works both ways, don't it? Watch this verse. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall they lie in a good fold. There's a good fold. You remember? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. There's a way. Watch this. In a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. Now remember what we read there in Deuteronomy? How God watches over his land. God has his eyes focused. In fact, he's got his eyes focused on every hill and on every valley. He's got his eyes focused upon every low place and high place. In fact, there's not a place that God can't see. There's not a thing going on that God doesn't know. There's not a thing happening that is a surprise to him. Now remember all those verses that we read, that God sees, and that if there's a time that there's a need for rain, God will cause it to rain. If there's a time and there's a need for a latter rain, God can cause it to rain. But if we decide to go against the and be contrary against God, God can shut it up. I mean, just like that. As well as God gives a blessing, God can take away that blessing. As God can give a shout, God can take away a shout. As God can give us a song, God can take away that song. Why in the world, is God just say, well, I'm out there and I'm watching you make a mistake and I'm going to rip it from you? There's more to it than that. Let me hurry. So he says that. But verses 16, here's the way he says, I will seek that which was lost. I will seek. Now, you remember the scripture that said he had 100 sheep and one went astray. He left the 99 to go and find it and look for it. When he finds it, he rejoices. Remember that? Many of us would say, well, if it's only one loss, that's good loss. It's in the military, if you're in a war and fight and somebody dies, they say, well, that's a casualty of war. It ain't so good if you're the casualty, right? It's only good if you're in the 99 bunch. But when you're the one that goes astray,
when you're the one that gets lost, when you're the one out of the path, when you're the one that feels like you're all alone all by yourself, friend of mine, I'm glad God sends somebody after you. And guess who he sends? See, this is how God works. God doesn't entrust me to do the job. You know how God works? God's eyes is always on the land. God's eyes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Who's going to be there? You see, you can't find a place that God is not watching. You know, whenever me and you pray, and we pray for something that may be for somebody 100 miles away, we can't be there. We can take our phone, and hopefully they're watching their phone, and we can do that FaceTime stuff. But friend of mine, that don't work. You know what works? God's already there. That's what works. Watch this. I've got to hurry. So here's what it says. He says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will, and you better watch this one, feed them with judgment. Uh-oh. If he left that off, I will feed them. I always like to go to the supper table. But what I don't want to do is go to the supper table and then wash the dishes after supper. Does that make sense? I don't mind going and eating the good off the table, but I don't want to take out slop or the trash. I don't mind going and feeding, but doggone it. Man, you mean I got to go feed the animals too? You see my point? We want to enjoy the feeding process, but the feeding process goes along with judgment. I'm not through. I want you to look with me now to verses number 26. Verse 26. The scripture says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. Listen, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. God says, I'm going to make you, that's what he says, I'm going to make you and also my hill. And these together will be a blessing. You know, God's people ought to be a blessing. We shouldn't have to make it a blessing. We ought to be a blessing. We should not have to put on our Sunday go-to-meeting blessing outfit. We should be a blessing. We should not have to create words to say. Our words ought to be a blessing. We ought to be a blessing 24/7. We ought to look and say, what would God have me say? What would God have me do? What would God have me be? But whenever we see, this is how God says, you're going to be a blessing. And not only that, my heel. My heel. Now I have to go back. I have to go back. I have to go back to when Moses sinned against God, struck that rock two times when he's only supposed to strike it once. He struck it twice. God says, well, I got news for you. I'm going to feed you, but I'm going to have to judge you also. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to let you see the land, but you can't walk in the land. You know what? Whenever you're on the guilty side, you thank God that you get to see the land. You see, every one of us in this room would like to say 2 Thessalonians, when the dead in Christ will rise first, every one of us would like to say, man, I sure would like to be in that. I sure would like to be alive when that takes place. We all want in on that one, don't we? You know why? Because we wouldn't have to go through the process of death. But I got news for you. The Bible says, oh, death, where's thy sting? You ain't got to worry about that part.
If that's described like a bee sting, I'll be sure happy that I don't have to get that one. In other words, death can come and grab me, but death can't hurt me. Watch this. If death can't hurt me, why do I worry and why do I fret? Friend, it's a whole lot easier for me to be fed than it is for me to be judged. I don't mind. But here's what he said. There's a hill. Now on my hill, now you ought to be a blessing, but on my hill is a blessing. So if Moses got to see, wait a minute, there's been others that's got to see, all right? Now I'll have to give you this. There was disciples that saw Jesus go up a hill. That hill was called Mount Calvary. Now whenever they saw that hill, they didn't see it like me and you see that hill. Because when they saw it, remember, they didn't know much about that resurrection stuff. They didn't know about the death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't know. They couldn't see by faith. Hey, guess what? Me and you, by faith, get to look backwards at it. We see it and say, man, why didn't they see what I saw? Watch this. But when they saw that hill, they saw Jesus, the Savior of the world. They saw Jesus save their soul. Guess what? When me and you see the hill, we see the same thing. We see the Savior of the world. But do we ever see that that was a hill that God made? You know what? It's hard for us to think that God was willing to let Jesus die for mine and your sins. But that was God's hill. And God provided something. Now, we hadn't talked about it. We just kind of hit at it. But let's talk about it now. Look what it says. He says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower. Now, you get down, and if you've read ahead, you already know that it's going to be showers of blessings. And we got a song in that book. I don't know what number it is, but it's showers of blessings. Oh, and it's a good one, too. Watch this. Round about my hill, I will cause a shower to come down in his season. When that happens, when that season comes and you're a blessing and you're on God's hill, that's a blessing. If you can imagine in your mind's eyes just for a moment, looking at the place God wants you to look and being at the place God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, there is going to be a shower all of a sudden appear. As we were traveling home today from lunchtime, we were traveling home. It was all kinds of clouds in the sky, but it was kind of spotty clouds. And before we got home, windshield wipers was on, and it was a full-blown rain. Full-blown. Now, where in the world, Charlene said, where in the world did all this water come from? Where did that rain come? It didn't look like it was possible to ever rain. But you know what happened? God caused a shower to come right in the middle of the road as we was traveling down on both sides, traveling down. And you know what happens in life? If we meet God's conditions, God can cause showers of blessings. In fact, if I can be selfish for a moment, God can cause showers of blessings in the four walls of this church. We've seen miracles happen in this church. Now let me show you what the miracle is. I'm not talking about he can jump over the pew the highest. I'm talking about the miracle of salvation, somebody getting born again. You're talking about a blessing? You're talking about a blessing far greater than anything that happens upon this earth. When somebody gets saved, that is a blessing that nobody can describe. You know, if you think about what God has done for you and what God has done for the heel, He has put us in a spot, in a place where God blesses us with showers of blessings. Showers of blessings. You know something? God watches over us on every place that we go. You know how these accidents happen. There's more accidents happen in a couple of places between here and our house. One of them is a death trap called County Line Road and 157. You go down through there, man, every time you turn around, you think, what in the world are these crazy people doing? They having wrecks at that intersection. You're looking there in a crazy spot. They're having in the same spot. And I'm thinking, how can you wreck in that same spot? Friend, when people sin, they sin the same old way. They're just a sinner. They're not going to stop sinning, just like they're not going to stop being wrecked. You know what you got to do? You can put up all the warning signs you want, but unless the world sees that there's a blessing in God's folks and there's a blessing around God's place, unless they see that there's showers of blessings that we receive, they're going to stick on in their same path. They got to see something in a church better than what's in the world. They go to Las Vegas and they just go down there and they hoop it up and holler it up and they go to the ball games and hoop it up and holler it up and they think everywhere they go and everything they should do, it ought to be happiness for them and we ought to be happy all the time. I got news for you. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents, more than 99 that don't need repentance. I'm glad that their salvation is still real and it's still real today. There is blessings and showers of blessings. I'll hush in one second, please. Let me finish one more little thought. The Bible says in verse 27, and I'll hush, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. I just had to say this. The tree of the field shall yield her fruit. Long time ago, when you was a bad boy, and you only had one apple tree in your yard. And apples don't just appear to be big, you know. They don't. They start out little. And if you eat them too early, you'll regret it. And it's hard to be patient. But if your neighbor, somewhere along the journey, don't never tell this because, you know, don't ever tell this, but you ever stole apples, don't raise your hand because I will keep mine down then. But you'll see that apple up yonder, and it's way too far out of reach. And it's way, and you'll take a rock. Well, you shouldn't do this, but you'll take a rock and you'll throw until you knock that apple down. Now, when you eat that apple, God ought to just give you the stomachache again, which He does sometimes. And why? Because you couldn't wait. You were so impatient. You couldn't wait on your tree. You went to somebody else's tree. Friend of mine, when God's tree yields its fruit, it takes time. It takes time. It takes time for sometimes us to be a blessing. Yeah. Sometimes when we come to church, we're not blessing material. Sometimes it takes a whole service before we get in the right frame of mind to worship the Lord. Revival meeting, sometimes it's toward the end of the services before we're ever right conditionally to meet God. When we ought to come, when we enter the doors, we ought to be ripping and ready because we ought to be patient on our own tree. God wants to shower blessings on us if we'll meet His conditions. And God will. If you're lost without God, I got news for you. What's in the church, I'm not talking about this church, but what's in the church is far better than what the world has to offer. What the world has to offer is temporary. what might be the bright and morning star for the world today can be put out tonight. It'll be, you know, if I heard some kind of news report not too long ago over in Tunica, Mississippi. Over in Tunica. A few years ago, that was one of them, boy, hot spots of the world. Las Vegas has come to Mississippi. Folks from around here would get, this was a long time ago, they'd get on them free buses, and them free buses would drive them down to Tunica free of charge. So they'd go down there and gamble there. Boy, that was a highlight of some people heard the other day. They're closing another one. Well, I didn't even know they'd closed some of them up, but they done closed another one. Why is that? Because it was that bright and morning star one day, but now the lights has done faded. How many lives has been destroyed in that fading process? You stick with the world, you're going to find that fading process will hit you. What you thought was bright lights of the city is going to dull. But I got news for you. What you've got in God will never fade away. And it'll be there. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart or your life, but I do know the Lord. I do know Him. As we can look in this book and find things, He's that bright and morning star. He don't fade away. What He does will last. Now, as His eyes are always upon us, His eyes are always on the land, and He's constantly watching after me and you. Friend, if you're lost without God, there's actually times that you don't see God, but God sees you always. And God has sent His Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Now, you can say no to it, and you can reject Him, and you can walk out those doors lost as you were when you came in. But I got news for you. One day, you're going to call it feeding time, but there's consequences. There's going to be judgment afterwards. You can enjoy the blessings, the showers of blessings that come on God's folks. But one day, God's folks is gone. And where's your blessings? The Lord will be counting them right now. May we stand, sing a verse of this song. God's speaking to you. You need to come. You come. Come tonight.